interrupting the current neo-coronial cricketism to bring you Behind the Woodshed. This is Cricketude Busting Episode BTW RLM 451 Fahrenheit, I suppose. On and on. The censorship. Oh, the horror. And we continue to allow it. Over and over again. A few of us understand the problem, but there's not enough of us that are actually acting out in order to do a whole bunch of pushback. A little bit's coming, but it's all coming, to my mind at least, in the wrong direction. I guess we can have a difference of opinion, but when they're all focusing on the mitigation side, as I've explained, they're not focusing on the fraud up front of the failure of every jurisdiction across the world. Astonishing to me. Not one jurisdiction has identified an infectious agent. And we know they can't, but the point is they haven't tried. And then based on that failure, they haven't declared. They haven't found it. Which continues the entirety of the problem that we're facing on a global scale. As I said, what Greta didn't get done with climate change, they're going to do with COVID, and you see everything coming back through. But before I get too far, you know, we can go on and on. I could talk for like literally forever. In a way, it won't matter. I look around and I'm seeing lots of activity. People talk about lots of things, but they're not focused on. We'll talk about it, but we're not going to stop talking about the problem and doing a darn thing about it to stop it. But before I go on, over at BitChute, creeping along. Thank you very much for those of you listening in when you get over there and hear it later. 200 subscribers for me. Not that it's so slow it's not really worth watching, but this seemed to be a little bit of a hallmark for the broadcast. The slowly creeping up, the people are tuning in. About a third will listen per week. So those appreciate all that, and I don't know if you're all sending on the broadcast. I would appreciate that you do. Again, part of the problem is a lot of people will listen, and they won't really respond to defend themselves. And I don't know what more to say. Or as I found out, and again, as I kind of understood, but I felt it's so important what this going on here. I offered to make, if you will, a form, which I told you don't do, because people like forms, but they're not necessarily proper for any particular case. And you heard over and over not to use anything I would make in order to do that with this affidavit for religious exemption. And people immediately started to do it wrong. They really don't understand what this is about. And so we just do things that we think we know, and it's really not so. And I don't know what more to say. I don't know how to explain it. And I'm just, part of me kind of smiles a bit. I see the few of you that are really digging in, and you continue to dig in. Those of you who are really persistent, probably as hard-headed as I am, you're finding out what I'm telling you is there. They're not doing it. Nothing's happening the way it's written. And that's not made up. You just go see that nothing is happening the way it is supposed to happen. And so when I tell you that there's no Bar Association member that's just challenged on that, you look around the world, you see that true. And then I told you before, the Bar Association has helped promoting what Greta was promoting. This is a vast organized criminal syndicate putting one over on you. And then they brought in the most important part, which is the control, the future control. And they did it to you, like I said they would, in a medical martial law. Then digital technocracy, you're watching all that come along. But they know how to play everybody, and people fall for it, and I don't blame them. This is not a blame thing. I'm trying to get people to understand, even if you're so aware you knew not to, you're really the first to have to start acting, because those that were fearful, those that were dealing in the moment of the emergency, really we don't have a right to blame them at all. Now so much time has passed, now in my mind there's really no excuse. And now we're watching this division in society, in the psyche of the world actually. And you see how pervasive this control is in people. And they do it with fear. And we're going to get someone who says that in one of the tabs I get down, just to reference. You can go listen to the gentleman talk about it, or you don't. But knowing about that, and even me saying that, isn't going to stop what part of this is being done to promote that fear in people. But these, as if you listened last week, the anagram-demic, Omicron, moronic variant, tests that they did coming through New Hampshire, I didn't touch base on this. Again, so much to touch. Just wanted to have people think about it from last week, maybe. come up with your own observations for sure, but to look at the so-called tests that they were passing around, those pregnancy tests, those lateral flow tests that we're hearing about are and being aggressively promoted are really just a placation for that ignorant, even the moronic submission to the fear. Not fact, not science, right? What is science defined by the perpetrator? They define it as statistics. That's just cooking. That's an ability to cook the books. That's not science. Not in the least. And in science, it's just an ongoing question. There's really no answer. But communicable disease laws requires more than an ongoing question. And not presumption and not statistics. It requires an identification up front. But they get people to start running in the fear that they're going to be run down by something. And there's no fact, actually, and there's no science, and there's absolutely zero official compliance with the law, which we were told we the people, were required to keep the official in check. And they learned, these people have learned, when you don't, they can do whatever they want. And now it's so bad, we can't even recognize the tripartite government, at least in the United States. I'll say you can't even recognize the rule of law and democracy anymore in any part of the world that implements it. Because of this knowledge. So these tests are to push the fear, to make it easy for you to jump in, and you become the statistic they need to cook the book some more. And it also is simple, and that's another problem for us. It's very simple to be lulled into these things and just hand the responsibility over to somebody else. And it is shown, and being shown, it was shown in the documents long before we got here, before the so-called experts and even the industry insiders were even saying it, and you heard it at least behind the woodshed. Simply looking at the originating documents, as I said, the medical experts weren't the experts. The patent readers were the experts, and Dr. David Martin was the first to really come out here and show that in spades. But we, behind the woodshed, I was before that as well. Didn't know Dr. David Martin. I also want to put the caveat, but I saw what his product was. His ultimate product is also tying people into intangible asset investment. It's about the commerce. It's fascinating how this is also intertwined. Does anybody else see that? Does anybody else care? I don't know. I just tell you I see it, and I see that it's a detriment to us. And we're finding, though, that the jabs suppress natural immunity response and replacing it with, in the best case scenario, a crippling, pharma-dependent, inadequate immunological response, whether privately or societally. So they affect the one, it affects the many. And destroying your future generations. Those future generations that are vulnerable, that every of these do-gooders are saying that they're trying to protect. It's your offspring. It's your family. It's actually your grandmother and grandfather. Their example to you in the future coming up. All that's being changed and destroyed based on this fraud. They're transposing your natural immunity. And granted, not everybody gets through when an influenza that's a killer influenza comes through and gets you. For the same old reasons they're telling us so-called COVID is doing it. That's just a symptom, remember. Don't get lost in how they did this to everybody. They cannot identify the infectious agent. They have not identified one actual infectious principle carrying the infectious agent. How do I get all these terms? I'm making this stuff up? Don't I sound intelligent? No, I learned them all from going through and listening to reading all the laws of the communicable disease, not as I started to find them, and then as was brought to me from you that are interested in really rolling up your sleeves. And still, not one of us has, one of us has, but we saw the effect of the Bar Association on this problem. That's why I said we need more. Not really one is holding the feet to the fire to every representative of every other attorney or anybody that's speaking outside and talking about masks or vaccine mandates and all this, and not saying, wait a minute, where did you prove that you can talk about you yourself, your representative, or anybody you have to talk to? Where are your county commissions? Where do you have the right to talk about masks? You haven't identified the infectious agent. And here's the requirement in law. Here's the black and white, the objective basis that I'm not talking just talk whistling Dixie if I'm in the South or talking turkey if I'm looking for turkey dinner. I don't know. What's the relationship to how they dismiss you? No, that's why you have the black and white. You bring that black and white code. It's real simple. Most states have it in one paragraph, what all had to happen, that there's no evidence of. If you don't want to do what I'm saying about setting that record and getting these documentations ready for you, which you'll find as more people are getting into it, you're finding you're going to need those, as I said you would, then you get to put it on there right in people's face. Hey, you haven't done the first step to be able to give you the thing that you're trying to do, which is to give essentially general warrants of application without what? Doing what, folks? Demonstrating the non-fraudulent exigency. Is that a bunch of fancy word salad? No. That's right out of the court saying when you, the government in a tripartite or rule, or even rule of law and democracy that's not corrupted is supposed to implement, when the official claims an emergency, the official has to also claim the cause for that emergency. It's not presumptive. This is your first clue. This is the wrong thing. It was a presumptive virus. That's the first clue. Everything was wrong. And he told me right off the bat, I was all over that. Why? Because I'm so smart? Well, not really smart, am I? But I do a lot of reading. I've had to make myself a little more intelligent on what we've been blasted with as far as a bunch of nonsense that was a system that really wasn't here for us. We all say that, but we didn't understand how that really worked out, and we never really laid the steps in order to do that, to prove it beyond our opinion. See, so many people saying, oh, this is not... we're not working in the law. Well, yeah, and you're allowing it. And there's no law to work in the law side because it's all been corrupted. And everyone throws their hands up, so what are we going to do? Well, that was what they counted on, that you throw your hands up and do nothing. Make every excuse not to do a thing because they win. Silence is acceptance. Silence is the lack of action against the criminal. It continues and it gets worse. So relative to the coming on, and you're hearing this over the, you'll hear this a bit, you've heard this week if you're paying any attention to it. And again, I think this is very important because what it's doing to us as societies across the world, it's destroying us inside, it's destroying each one of us, it's destroying our relationships, and it's all fraudulent, and no one wants to call that out. And so they keep bringing it on, and we keep seeing the evidence that there's some pushback a bit, if you will. There's some check and balance, although, in my view, the check and balance is incorrect because you won't see the courts actually addressing the real fraud. You're watching people, the courts, based on attorneys bringing the mitigation side, arguing that they didn't quite do it right to do a mitigation side. None are arguing that this is a fraud up front and the prerequisite exigency has not been demonstrated. They have not. Nobody has brought that up except for one court case. And we watched the Bar Association expose itself to the corruption in Tennessee to try to evade this. Anybody can see the record. It's not hard to see it. And people that are doing this get vilified for trying. I find it amazing. Not one of those people that would vilify, question, not even find interesting things that I would have to say relative to this, cannot themselves show what they would be required to do if they were the official trying to put this on. Not one. And yet everyone will criticize, even in your lack of interest or your lack of follow-through or your lack of, not interest, but you see it, but you don't want to respond to it, even to be that noise. You don't know who, if you don't see, this is the only thing where I keep coming back to this broadcast is, I don't know who might finally hear me that does have the connection that escapes me at every turn, at every turn. It's just if I have the anti-Midas touch in my life. And I know that could be an excuse, but I've proved it to myself. I'm not proving it to myself. I said, no matter what I touch, it's like when I was a technician, every hard trouble, and it wasn't a problem until I realized it was getting in the way. I was always getting in my technician experience as an electronic technician in R&D, research and development, I would get the most obscure problems. I got in trouble because I was facing problems that management could not understand that I was helping to solve. I wasn't an engineer, but I was able. It was an opportunity. I could see it early on as an opportunity. I got the toughest, most nonsensical things that could come up having to solve. On the other hand, when you try to make a buck at that, and you run that into hours that you have to spend on nonsensical things, it starts to encroach on what you can do in life. And at some point, you start looking around, well, where am I most effective? Even in this broadcast, it's been an uphill battle to get anybody to listen to something that should have been the first priority to respond to. It's a for me, my standpoint, it's a fascinating observation. And I just don't give up. And I've turned into what you say, like, as I said, I think I'm just in the epitome of what optimism is. In the face of everything not working, I'm going to continue pressing. And so I'm here, getting back to this point, that relative to all this problem, and you're looking out in the world and you say, oh, we're going to wait for this, someone else to do it. It isn't going to happen. Relative to these purported and unconstitutional national mandates, they're using administrative rules. I've explained this for years how to address this. In fact, right now, we'll get to a tab. Right now, you'll be able to get this part of your, the vernacular. You could take what I've been saying, put it in writing, and submit it to the OSHA, O-S-H-A, and you could put on the record of the fraud. And we could get this word out that it's a continuing fraud. Why? What's the fraud? No one has demonstrated a non-fraudulent exigency to even promulgate the rule, whether or not it can be constitutionally made. What you're doing is you're making a public record of the fraud that's based in the black and white, so you don't have to worry about those that are woke and those that know the woke but don't do anything to counter the woke. And within this mandate, this thing that comes on, with all the definitions being changed under the cover of the fraud, where are the attorneys to challenge those for failing to comply with the Administrative Procedures Act regarding lawful promulgation of rules? In other words, there's a process. That's state-level violations going on and your national violations going on. And I've talked to you about this administrative world we live in and how you can act as a stick in the spokes. And partly why when we got Jefferson Mining District, the object was to become what they call a coordinating body instead of cooperating body, and a coordinating body could be that stick. And I've suggested long ago, engage organizations that can become the coordinator against this to be one of the authorities to be able to speak, which impliedly proves you, my dear listener, none of us have any power on our own, actually. And that should start reshaping what we are understanding. But relative to all this, where have the attorneys been with these definitions to not changing without the proper, if you look at the federal, it's so much more clear to see how much nonsense has to go around about making a rule. The promulgation of a rule is not a simple process. It has a lot of things to go through. Every step of the way you can jump in and make a comment to. That makes you relevant. That puts you in the place to be able to make a lawsuit, a quick little lawsuit to shut down because they didn't follow a rule. You put in that they didn't show the non-fraudulent exigency, you get to shut that down at least in record for about ever until they demonstrate. You could be that stick in that spoke. Just making simple assertions. A lot of people don't want to do this, but I'm suggesting they've put it in this legal context. We were supposed to be versed in that context, and that's what they play on, that you won't, and that we would not be versed, and we are not. And after all the years I've been doing this, I'm still, it's such a corruption. You're not doing the law. You're doing the maneuvering, the corruption to expose that it's not law. Anyway, so where are the attorneys about all these definitions? They changed the definition of vaccine and what a booster is, all this. Where are the promulgated rules by the APA? They don't exist. Where are the attorneys that are saying, listen, you got to shut this down just for that? How has it gotten to the point where there's implementations that the attorneys only sue on mitigation side? I don't know. I'm asking questions. Where are these attorneys, and where is everybody not to be pressing anybody who, because you find out as we move along, you don't have any authority. You find out who the actual speakers for you are. Where is the masses pressing on those? Even against, I would say, like Republicans, so to speak, the conservatives, like Rand Paul. Respect I had for him as a man, I don't even know if I have that much anymore for the guy. These people have a very interesting way of playing people, and people buy into it. Asking all the wrong questions, making the setup, and right in front of your face, destroying people by their own, telling you what they believe. It's contrary to their attack. The good cop, bad cop nonsense from a governmental standpoint as a whole entity attacking you. And where, but relative to all this thing, where this issue with the judicial branch that we're hearing, where is the judicial branch for the government, of the government people thought was serving them? Where's the judicial branch of this government where we think that the judicial branch was, and it was too, by constitution, to serve the people? Where they remain silent. Where they don't look in an equity jurisdiction and say, well, we see that the attorneys haven't gone far enough. Why? Because they can identify an injustice right there. Because what they did, what did equity judge do? The equity judge looked into the law and was talking, found out it's communicable disease, and went to make sure that the parties didn't came with clean hands. How would they do that? He looks at the party that's being sued, in this case, the government official, to see if the law was conformed and complied with, and if that was admitted in response. Where is this style of judiciary being jealous to protect its jurisdiction as a check and balance? And then where are we for not responding when they didn't? Now for 2 years or more, I guess 2 years coming on. I mean, just think about this. Do these judges, do they really think that they or their family can escape the judgment of nature for the consequences of the tinkering hand of man in all this? What am I saying that? I'm saying that we're looking at a bioweapon. It hasn't been shown otherwise. It's been early on stated. I'm looking at it as a more of a chemical weapon. I'm still not dissuaded at that. And this is what gives me some of my objections even to the so-called experts, the insiders. You have to listen to the doctors and you have to listen to the people from like this one gentleman from GlaxoSmithKline who's coming out to tell us things. They agree SARS-CoV-2 is something that's never been demonstrated. Okay, so why I can't even agree now with those people, even though they're telling us a truth on how, if it was normal what they would have been doing, how it would work, and it's still wrong. So I say you got to keep stepping back until you find the first step of failure. Not buy into about anything anymore. But way off the point of where I was going to start. I'm going to get to all that. It's a preparatory for where we're going to go. You're probably maybe done with all that now. You've heard enough because you're not intending to do much of it anymore. But everybody, I'm looking around the country right now with everybody out there stepping up and now resisting at the point of the representatives. As I've told you, those governors in your states that were against trying to implement the national mandate, whatever their belief on constitutionality or not, we're the prime candidates for you to step in and say, I'd like to explain something to you and I'd want you to protect you and to keep you from having to fight this thing. Can you show me? And your answer is that you have not, by the law of your state, have not found the infectious agent and have not identified an infectious principle carrying that infectious agent. And if you have, please let me know. Everyone has the ability to go to that state governor and hit them. Nobody I don't understand has, so I'm going to continue that it hasn't. And that also devolves down to anybody speaking up in representation. Where is the government serving the people? And this brought up another story that I don't talk too much about. I don't know what to do more about it, but to let you know the injustice of it, what governments will do. We've heard it that people will take offense or not find it valuable what happened in the Ammon Bundy condition and all that. And that whole fiasco, they will not understand the seven minors condition that suffered the same fate, if you will, of injustice and prosecutorial misconduct that was not televised. The paperwork I know that we filed, of which you haven't heard any more mass minor prosecutions of, because we exposed what they were doing. The mass prosecutorial misconduct that goes on is right for everybody to see in how governments work with each other under a color of doing justice, under a color of judiciary, under a color of the proper executive branch, in the Julian Assange case, of the case of which verdict now on the appeal was against Assange. The title here, Assange verdict, vengeance is ours, saith the agency. Now, that is a antiwar.com title. It's their sentiment, but I would have to say that's exactly the underlying problem with what's going on against Assange and what's happening with the United States trying to get to extradite him and how the UK judiciary, so-called, is complying. My problem with this story, let me just read the first part, are the CIA and its contractors able to bully not only the U.S. Department of Justice, but also the UK judiciary? This is not hard to conclude after the High Court decision announced early on Friday to bow to the U.S. and extradite Julian Assange. Underneath this pettifoggery, the decision demonstrates that the British will lop the jurists off the jurisprudence and pay heed only to the prudence in kowtowing to the security state in Washington and its junior partner in London. Now, we could frame it like that, or we can understand there is no justice. We can understand what they need to do is keep the public's ire to a controllable minimum. And so all they have to do, because they've already agreed what they wanted to do, is make a showing that's plausible enough that they can plausibly justify what they're doing in this injustice. This plan is everywhere. And this is what how I look at how we I would help someone fight this plan. It already has an outcome. It's why we look at so-called 98%, 98.9% prosecutorial victories, so-called. It shows you something, and all they have to do is keep people quiet. And they've shown that in society, COVID showed us the very same reflection. People will keep quiet. Of all the celebrity, in this case, it's journalists looking in. In this case, I see nobody taking those writing talents except to describe the horror that they're watching and turn that in and start to file the paperwork and make the notices that they need to do to inundate that so-called judiciary to expose that they're going to have to do better than just this plausible thing. They need to put the pressure to have the system start to engage the incongruities, at least the appearance of impropriety. Why? To ball up that bureaucratic system. All these people that can write should be writing on point. But this article goes through and says that this is the UK bowing. No, I don't think so at all. I think this is just the system that has been, and it has figured out what it needs to do to keep most people quiet, the most of the people quiet, in the injustice of what? Going after an acknowledged journalist doing his job, which exposed the United States for the corruption that it does, that the UK is completely in league with, and in fact, historically, UK has led a lot of these wartime injustice through history. They didn't become a world power, a military power, naval power, destroying other countries because they played fair, please. And so, this is a war, these courts are war forums, and you're watching the two allies working it out. Now, okay, so why would I be interested? Well, because that injustice over there is just indicative of the injustice that you're going to find at home, and it yells to me what's happened over the 2 years on this nonsense of COVID, that it continues, and what you can expect from the so-called government that has failed everybody, planned to fail, has been failing, has really never, ever really worked except for their plausible excuses to respond to you that essentially placate you. And you stop pressing in all the places that look absolutely futile in some regard. And this is why it takes so much. You start to make that system, you ball it, like I said, about traffic tickets. Everyone who got a traffic ticket did the most basic filings of paperwork. Starting with the avoidance, prior to plea, you would ball that court system up so badly that they couldn't even handle what's going on. They could not do justice. And if you do it right, they can't plausibly throw you out either. What are you doing? You're starting to show that the system is failing. You need to show that to the other people, 60 or 70% of which don't believe that and won't. A friend of mine who's now dead, friend, who figured this out, explained this whole thing about elections to me. He goes, you have to get, if you go to voting and try to go local voting now, this is just local voting, you have to sway 68% of the voter population to your side. It's not 50-50. you have to overcome at least the 20 or 25% within the government who's going to keep the status quo to keep their job. If you're going to overthrow a corruption that's inbred in the system, you have to at least activate 68% of the electorate. You're looking at that in reverse for COVID. They've got 68% against us. It's not a good position to start a fight from. That the other attack here is you don't need to have a voter advantage if you come at them administratively or through the court system, where your whole attack is to correctly ball them up, correctly expose that they're not there to do justice. But Julian Assange's verdict goes against him now. They're going to go repeal it. I'm not so much on this other guy here coming up with another tab here, Glenn Greenwald, but he does have a video and he is explaining a nice synopsis, 6 minutes of what's going on. My view has his own problems as another journalist. He's also an attorney. I'd like to know where he's been he could be shooting in front of the court briefs. He can be shooting in all kinds of other things, being a journalist that's affected by this, to bring another voice to the matter. Where is this attorney? He may be shot down, but his attempts are people beating on the wall of the false front that's been put that purports to be justice, where someone comes in like before and says, is the UK court bowing to the United States power in Washington? No, it's all a false front they're allies. It's not a false front that they're going to be distinct and different. It's all run by the rule of law and democracy group. Can anybody see this? Then Beadle, long back, just RLM chat, folks, if you can get in there, I'd occasionally look over. Beadle was saying all this nonsense has been, you've been affected by, it seems to be sprayed from this guy. I'm also communicating. We don't talk too much about it, but communicating with and talking with some people, they're noticing all that. It seemed to go away for a little while, but it's coming back, and people are finding some direct correlation, though we don't have causation. Hello, Montreal. Thank you for tuning in and all the things you do. But, yeah, I don't know. This is, to me, it's too little far-fetched. That's why I don't talk about it. Too far-fetched in the fact I can't prove any of it. I don't have all the money to go chase after a jet to find out what's in their contract. Their trails. Happy trails to you. And although RLM, if you find it, has a link to some pictures of jet aircraft that have been outfitted for the purpose. I see all that. But at some point I've got to get tangible why I don't touch all that too much. I don't know where the vector is, actually. I do know things change, but I can only hit so much. And right now I'm having people being affected in their lives, and I believe I can offer some things that people can do, even if they're not actually, you're better actually to fight it when you don't have these guys on you. Like Glenn Greenwald, he's better positioned to probably figure something out than certainly Julian Assange, which is being tortured. Remember, there's supposed to be a presumption of innocence. Remember, you'll hear from this, Julian Assange had only one like a misdemeanor charge on him when they started. He ends up with 18 international counts on indictment. And they allowed all that. And they allowed torture upon him. They allowed him to be interfered with. He cannot actually help with his own defense. All these little standards have fallen right in front of your face, and you don't recognize the brutality government is. And that's being given license because we were silent. The people are silent. They agree with all that. And I don't know what to say more. I see 76% of the people or so are agreeable to this brutality. That means the rest of us have a bigger and tougher job. We have to be more surgical on our attack as well. That's partly what, another thing, I don't know if people pick this up, that's partly what I'm offering. I don't know what kind of a military strategist I am, but I realize that one man or woman is not by himself going to get anything done in a representative condition. You have to be persuasive somehow. Now, that little gremlin I have in my history, I'm apparently not a very persuasive guy, but I can work with people that are. And so I've had to learn where I position myself, which frustrates a lot of people around me because they know I'm probably the only one with the words to say what I need to say, but they also know that somehow, well, it becomes too direct an attack on an official. And so they completely do not want to hear it. But not being that connected to what I see, and handing that baton to someone else to do, they are a lot more approachable or diplomatic. And so there's a place for all of us. And speaking about, as I speak baton, maybe it was remiss to enter in, we are going, I guess the watchword this week and for the next couple of weeks, maybe the months or so, is transition. Those of you that want to send the prayers to Grimner, please do so this week. And the baton has been passed to Vince, and they're setting up to do the network, Real Liberty Media, and don't know what more to say on this. We just hope that the baton doesn't get dropped. I don't think it will, and that's a good thing. But there's going to be some help needed. Grimner was doing a ton of things all by himself because he's capable. And this is what we're needing. We need people that'll step up and be capable. So it's going to take a lot of people to cover what Grimner used to do. But RLM will continue to go on as best as I think I've heard people intention to do so. Real Liberty Media. I don't know what to say about the information. I don't think you get this information not behind the woodshed for sure anywhere. And I think, and I see people's emails. I just don't know. I certainly appreciate it, but the listenership is very low. I don't understand that relative to whatever else I see out there. But it is what we have said here and what I think people can bring, those of you that will, that are capable, that will, and come on to the network. What we can bring here is going to be, and I've been told this here in the last few weeks by numbers of people, just keep plugging away because we have something that people are going to need. Now, I've agreed with that. I agree with that. That's why I continue to come back. I know that people will need what I'm talking about, even if it's only part of the answer. You have to have a whole other mindset, and you have to respond a whole different way. In fact, I listened to Vince and what he... I don't know how many hours Vince has listened to me over the decade or so. But watching him pick up things I say and put them into practice is it's kind of what I do, why I do what I do. I don't know how many of you are doing that. But to hear his reflection of how those principles, as he applied them to whatever he faced, helped him is what I'm talking about. You take what I'm offering as your own, as a baton that you run in this race that of the intention that you want to execute. And I'm saying you can do, I believe you can do, even in this very dire time, that you can do this without bringing yourself into jeopardy. In fact, if you learn what I'm talking about, you can't be brought into jeopardy. Your record precludes that. And then if you are, then you have the attack you can do. That it's, again, unjust and the record shows it. You're not speaking from your opinion in a system that won't listen to you unless you have the record to counter that opinion. Anyway, getting back to Julian Assange, he's the epitome of what the brutality of the government is and how the ineffectual nature of justice. And we should not be okay with that. And I'm, like all this stuff, like COVID, if there was lots of people, and I think there are, that believe there was injustice going on, not just saying that it's injustice, you go through the rules and you go through the canons of the judge and you go through all the rules that are supposed to happen. Even Glenn Greenwald is talking about certain things. He could put bullet point lines. You'll see it in the 6-minute video that he talks about. He could bullet point that out and make that a judicial complaint or against the judge or the system or whatever, and he gets more people following in with their view on how that was supposed to work. Not the opinion, but the violation of the black and white law, the objective basis. And now you start to push back more, and what the system sees is a bunch of pissed off natives. The very thing the occupier is supposed to avoid. And I'll try to move on here. Segue to a video it's on the internet, on Twitter. And again, for those of you on Twitter and have my account, I don't know how much I'm getting out. I see some people respond. I had some private messages. I responded. No response from those. Twitter's a mess for me. And so I just send stuff out in the beginning of like this broadcast before I show up. My interaction is interfered with. I have like 4 times more ads than I can actually go through on what I see. I've tried to block those out. It makes a mess out of my feed. So just letting you know on Twitter, I'm really not a fan at this point and don't have a resolution and don't have time for it all. But there has to be people getting together. This is the information that was sent to me from Twitter. You'll see a pharmacist apparently at a Walmart, I think it was. excuse me, at a Safeway pharmacy that's calling out her witness of people harmed by the Japs, and that she quit, she resigned her position right there in front of people after making her announcement from the Safeway pharmacy 1892 in Cortez, Colorado. So if you can get the link, you can hear this woman. It's a little bit blurry. It's a little, for me, hard to hear a little bit. I can make it out. I had to run it a couple times to make sure what I'm hearing. Again, it's more and more I want to make sure I'm hearing correctly. Not that I can't, I'm hard of hearing. I just want to make sure I'm hearing correctly to keep the facts straight. But here's a pharmacist that's telling the people standing in line she's resigning and she's not going to be a part of the fraud anymore. And so some of you in Colorado may try to seek her out. I think in the link of the account, it shows her more present. Maybe you can, those in Colorado can get in touch with her, start to coalesce around the facts that she knows her witness. It won't be the only thing. It's the mitigation side harms, which you tag on to the failure to identify an infectious agent, demonstrating a non-fraudulent agency, the wrong, harmful, irreparable, harmful effects of which are predictable when they did not follow the law, is how you tie what she does together with what you might say. Anybody outside of Colorado, again, this is not first-hand witness, this is hearsay, and this is a problem as we get down to the tabs. There was some hearsay information coming through. In fact, it's a story right coming in right now that I have a lot of trouble, but I'm going to mention it anyway because it was substantiated by an MPP out of Ontario, Kanukistan. And so I'm going to go with it, and I guess it's a public service announcement. It needs to be qualified, but those of you in Ontario, you need to track this guy down that says this. We got the video from MPP Nichols, and he poses a question. I could not find that question was challenged as being improper, which means it was proper. And you need to listen to this little video clip that I'm not going to play. You're going to get it on the blogcaster, or you can find it yourself and track it down. You need to listen to how the government official, health official, evades to answer the direct question and essentially in the silence of not answering it, agrees that there has been 86 stillbirth deaths where the mother was vaccinated. A 28-time increase in stillbirths in multiple parts of Canada. The question. This is a question. This was a statement done by somebody at a rally. The guy might have been a doctor. If you listen very carefully, he's responding almost in hearsay of hearsay. That was my problem. He responds to other people saying. And so in Ontario, if you could track all this down and qualify this is like it was shocking to me. I know I've seen the death numbers and all that, but to watch the increase in hospitals that are reported 13 stillbirths in a day, which has been denied, obviously, by the system, you need to go find the evidence. It's either there or it's not. And the odds are that it looks and likely there that you have to find. And my thought was, and I don't know the laws of Kanukistan relative to public records of deceased people or of babies, that you might want to go try to find your coroner and see how their death certificates correlate to this statement, 28 times increase in stillbirths due to mothers that are vaccinated only. This is a story we hear nowadays from everywhere, reading now, especially from morticians who have been horrified at the huge increase in deaths of these vaccinated babies and vaccinated mothers. So right there, there's another place to go. Maybe do a check through the mortuaries, find the morticians to see if they can tell you how many babies that they are they're swaddling up and maybe from where, and start taking your own records. If you can compile the direct evidence especially from the government officials, you are coming with a body of evidence to be able to do something, hopefully, and you got to follow through. And so there's a 4-minute video here. It says Dr. Nagase, explaining the stillbirths are happening in different parts of the country and then only happening to vaccinated mothers. And so I'm going to give you the links to these. I want people in Ontario, if this is true, this is shocking enough, I think, and I think people need to get in touch with MPP Nichols, who poses the questions of the 86 stillbirths they're talking about in a short time. The number is actually not, it's a little higher, it's 28.6%, if my math is correct. So, I mean, I don't want to turn too fine a point on that, but that's just shocking. To me, it's shocking. I can't even understand how this even continues. That should not be proper, and yet it the health official seems perfectly okay to evade the question. What do you tell the mother whose baby is stillborn and she was vaccinated? The answer, the parroted answer was, oh, those vaccines are safe. Completely fraudulent, where you know they have not identified an infectious agent. And how could they know then? And then you know the secret, there is no test. I've been over this over and over and over. If you know what you're reading in the official documents, they tell you there is no test. And then for my scope of study, Carrie Mullis came up after I figured that out to say, yeah, that thing they're using, that can't be used in a clinical basis. It's only for laboratory research. It has a certain function that it does on absolutely pure and known substances. And where I then picked up, oh, okay, so at some point they can transition. Once they are into the time when people have forgotten, they put in the known substance, which is what? The synthetic. They swap out what they're dealing with. So people in Ontario, I don't know what... I'm really kind of frustrated. I don't know what to suggest. This is serious stuff. You have a point to show the harm. You then can come in and say the reason why there's harm is because they never really identified it. And you in Kanukistan, I'm hearing from people in Kanukistan, it's serious there, serious, like close to Australia as far as what's going down. In fact, we did hear that they are picking up the indigenous, I think, or planning there. So this is not, again, this is not a game. This is for all the marbles in the bank. This is they're coming to steal your life. If MPP Nichols, who got chided, and every one of those people who chided him without looking at this and verifying or having a say of challenge that they could prove was a false question, everybody who chided him in that room should resign. Or you should recognize their terrorists and their occupiers that are looking like they're representing the people of Kanukistan. But it is Kanukistan anyway, isn't it? So I'll give you another link here. Just wanted, again, to, there's a number of links I'm giving you regarding the stillbirth, another one, stillbirth exploding across Canada to fully vaccinated mothers. It needs to be qualified, but when the MPP asked about the 86 stillbirths in 6 months, where there's only supposed to be one, I think, every 2 months, and the answer was, not to address the question of this mother asking about her stillborn baby, but to say, the vaccine parroting, that the vaccines are safe. You're looking at a psychopath, a criminal, a breach of the trust, all the things I've been explaining all this time. However, a caveat, you need to listen very carefully that the evidence that's being relied on apparently came from a prosecutor to this doctor. How they got that, I don't know. And then he goes in and files a formal complaint with the Mounties and then apparently walks out. Everyone cheers to him, but he can only offer hearsay if you listen to his words. Why would he have a higher complaint than a prosecutor? I have problems with this. But if this is true, those of you in Ontario, because of the pressure coming down, you can use it as a crowbar. It's not the first one. It's the result of not doing the communicable disease law properly, causing alarm in the society without it, foisting improper, damaging, and harming measures. They can't know they're safe if they haven't identified what they're fighting. And it's not presumptive. Understand that. They came out and they told you right up front it was presumptively this. That is a violation of law. That's what got my mind to go look. Wait a minute, I said, this can't be a presumptive infectious agent. It either exists or it doesn't. And guess what? My sense of due process was absolutely correct. And then, thence, you've heard me discuss over and over and on about how this is supposed to work, hoping and praying people will step up to defend themselves. This is killing your future generation. The future generations, they're saying, claiming that they want to protect. Stillbirth rates not increasing in regions according to hospital officials. No, it's a he said, she said. Why now, for those of you that are there and have can do this, track down the truth of this. The system will be given deference to their opinion. It always has been. People have kind of missed that. They complain about it, but they missed how that's done. my job, if you will, when I looked to see where or not they could take that license. In the Tennessee code, I found out in a rule, had to go to the rule, not the code, the rule, implementing the rule, I found the problem where somewhere along the line they promulgated administratively, likely without the proper due process, or in the fact that people don't respond to this stuff to protect themselves on the administrative side. I found where the little hole, the tear in their sheet was, which allowed this corruption. It's what forms the demand for reformation of the rule to make it consistent to legislative intent. Legislature requires that a local determination for the infectious principle carrying an infectious agent is done, and the assessments made, and the treatments offered to whom? The doctor treating, not, they don't do it on their own and not a general warrant, that the reformation was showing that there was a rule promulgated that defeated the legislative will. That is a breach of separation of powers. So the request and the demand for the equity case was reform the rule in order to make it compliant with the legislative will of the state. Don't allow foreign agents to determine presumptively what's happening in the state. The legislature requires to be identified and assessed locally, factually, not presumptively. And so it's real. I said that really fast. You go back and write that down. You go look at your code. You're going to see that's how it's supposed to work. And none of this has ever been done. Now, why do we expect anything less? Is our problem as people, and why we're going on here. Why now it's appearing, and I really looked hard, it took me a little while to do a lot of nothing, I could not invalidate the claim that these deaths are happening. So now you've got to find, those of you that can, find where the truth is. You're kind of given a lead on this. People are, kids, little ones are dying now. I mean, this is now a potential. And if not, you need to identify those that are telling lies, because that's what we're also susceptible to. I don't know that this doctor's not a plant. And this becomes the problem for us in this kind of a war. Remember, psychological warfare in war is all fair is love in love and war, right? So this is war. All is fair if the other side can prevail. That's all their objective is. And it's your duty now, because they're coming after you and your little ones, to step up and stop it. Even if they're coming out from your sons and daughters, little ones, or your friends and sons and daughters, and little ones. But why? Because you see it. You're the one that can do that. So now we move into back to the administrative issue where nobody, I guess, you have to go to court now. This shouldn't have happened automatically, but it doesn't. The Biden's vaccine mandate was blocked, but it may still hold in Texas. And this is where I'm telling you that when no one stepped up to argue the fraud, they can start splitting the hair and incrementally encroaching upon your power as people and place it, the power, in a government official who's not worthy of it, even in Texas. I told you a long time ago, Texas, they're messing with you. You better step up. You better understand this story not as a complaint, but as how the steps were done to do it to you by the black and white. A federal judge this week temporarily blocked President Joe Biden's administration from enforcing a COVID-19 vaccine requirement for employees of federal contractors, effectively freezing mandates for contractors, certain healthcare workers, and employees of large companies nationwide, including Texas. This was a nationwide stay, but they point out, you listen very carefully, that the federal rule is only over federal connected things. And I don't mean the Supreme Court admitted commerce-connected things. This is literally by contracts and employment contracts and all this. The stay is nationwide. Now, Governor Greg Abbott steps up, the state governor. Executive Order GA-40, which he issued in October, is now fully in effect following the ruling. So for Texas, you look at this for you. But what this is starting to parse out is anybody who was kind of in the game before as a private employer can still apply their mitigation measures. It's just that it can't be done on a national level or from the OSHA. And so here we have Governor Greg Abbott's a Republican. You don't hear him call out the fraud. You hear him continue it. You don't hear him say, well, we really haven't identified the infectious agent for this, nor do we have an actual infectious principle that this even matters. In my mind, why isn't that the more effective answer here? We just don't see it here. And what? Have the answer. Yeah, we're going to be susceptible to influenza, and it's killing people. Like I identified back in 2020, the beginning of 2020, because I didn't see the December report about the influenza three years earlier that was getting worse and worse upon people. And actually looking into what people, I find people being sick around me, but they're no, oh, they'll test positive for COVID, but they don't have really the symptoms. Again, it's that fraud. And yet they live and they don't get the treatment, the protocol, and they live. And you listen very carefully, and this is a nasty flu out there. But yeah, if it's not coming from the skies as well. But I don't know. That's, again, like I said, there's nothing I can do about that. It could very well be. But Governor Abbott's involved in this, but you won't hear him say that we have not found an infectious agent. Those in Texas, stop being messed with. Demand he identify for you the infectious agent or the principal carrying that agent, the man or woman carrying that agent, that he's identified that makes any of this relevant to him in his state. And if not, he can't find it, declare that it doesn't exist. Tell him that. How many millions of people are in Texas you could do this? How many millions of the remaining 30% of the people who haven't been mind-altered can do this? How many more that are mind-altered, if you can get them just to put even pen to paper and they can focus that long to put a coherent statement together, say, you got me giving me the jab, and then I just found out you don't have an infectious agent you've identified. Why'd you require this of me, or why'd you allow it to be required of me? Well, that's a different point. See, even the harmed ones have a place. What's the whole point of it? To start to acknowledge there hasn't been the first step done that validated any of it. Forget the unconstitutionality of the federal government. I've already told you it has to be unconstitutional. Don't get into this tennis match. This is a false tennis match. We give kudos to Judge R. Stan Baker because he stayed it. Well, remember, he stayed it temporarily. He couldn't stay it temporarily if it was a fraud. He can't temporarily stay a fraud. And if it was a fraud, Governor Abbott would have nothing to speak to, would he? His executive order was useless. He did a lot of worthless time there. Wasted a little bit of ink. It doesn't mean anything. I told you they're messing with Texas. So, Texas, you really have the bigger obligation to show us how you're not supposed to be messed with. I'm talking to the people here. You can start writing your letters consistent with the law. Just go find out what it is. Copy and paste. Say, this was supposed to happen. I noticed you didn't. Why did you make an executive order? And where is this infectious agent that you even think that you had to write that order? Can you show me that infectious agent? And then you put in the clause, because it says right here that you can't. It says right here from the guy who invented that thing that you can't. Get in a dialogue somehow. It can't be that hard. It really can't be that hard. Engage this thing. And so right after this decision, I think, if I got this right, it's just happening, although this date comes in, but November 12th was that Fifth Circuit decision. The Fifth Circuit, I think, is down in the South. Now, Labor Department, Occupational Safety and Health Administration has announced the suspension of activities related to implementation of, and enforcement of the so-called vaccine mandate following a December 12th decision in the Fifth Circuit following that stay. They're going to suspend everything about it. Yet, if you go to the website, which you can get the link on this one link I have, why I only have one and not, I had the other, but I'm going to cut it out. Too many links to put up. You can click from this webpage and find the OSHA website that has this statement. Look at the band, the information in the bands that says that statement. I verified that, but you'll notice there's also a request for an administrative hearing process that you can make a comment. And they say that suspension has nothing to do with their the APA qualification compliance for making rules. So those of you can jump in and if you can put together what I've been saying for yourself, understand the law, you put it in and you make a comment that says, how do you have authority, first of all, to make any rules for the state where the United States government and the International Health Advisory, whatever the heck they did, the IHA of 2005, I've talked about it, I don't remember all these names anymore. The reservation that was made, that the Washington had no, the United States government has no authority. It has to devolve, it's pointing to the state's authority. Where do you have a rule to make? And then, how are you making a rule without the infectious agent being determined by the states that you're going to affect? By their rules. Where is your impetus to make the rule in the first place? And then you just document, copy and paste, what the rule they're supposed to follow for your state. You have a right to enter in and make the objection and declare the fraud. It's a fraudulent use of the taxpayer. And if you're a taxpayer, you have another taxpayer waste, fraud, and abuse claim. File one of those against them. I mean, it goes on and on if you just would roll up your sleeves a little bit. And I don't mean get wordy. I'm saying copy and paste the law. Go to the code, the international agreement for the health agreement. Copy that reservation. Just compile this from the black and white. You're not making anything of this up. And say, hey, we have a fraud going on here. Where's your authority to waste the treasury and the funds and the abuse of this is going to cause? Why are you doing that? Whether or not they want to continue, which I've found because of JMD, they will shut down. You can shut it down. And when they don't, you've created your basis to go sue them. And the states like to do that too. If they're coming, if you can show in your document that this would infringe on state sovereignty, they want to be so protective, well, you can just tell their attorney general, this is how it's being done. You get to be that future, that little bit of influence possibly. But without people doing this, they don't have it. And the attorneys run roughshod over how this is done. Governors who will not admit the fraud run roughshod over your lives. Now, this is all administrative side. So you get to become a voice, and you get to become a record, and that gives you standing to move on and become the stick in their spokes. So OSHA has suspended their thing, but they also show that this is administrative. Where are we, that we aren't stepping? You have standing when you're being affected by this stuff. But I'm asking people, likely, like I think hundreds and hundreds of people have been fired in L.A. for, I can't remember now which industry it is. I can't remember now. They walk off the job instead of making it a retaliation claim. Like I've said, every one of those people can do. They can flood the OSHA claim side with a retaliation claim, a federal claim, setting up for a federal review when you state that there was no demonstration of a non-fraudulent agency or for the business, they demonstrated no necessity for what they're doing. I don't know how that isn't a win. It's a future win. And when you got thousands and thousands of hundreds, I guess we'll start here, and then thousands doing this, you bork the system with a valid position. And that starts to put pressure. They have to start fixing that in a different way. And I think if a fly was on the wall, the word happens, lots of phone calls go in behind the scenes, and they start talking about, well, you better start giving the better answer. We can't handle this. We can't handle that if it goes beyond this, they start seeing we aren't giving justice, and then we lose the whole and entire enchilada. We can't give them the knowledge that the people have power. And they've done it in this diffuse way, so it'd be a little bit harder to see that. So, OSHA suspends its action, but there's a notice in that OSHA page to make a comment. And I'm asking you to make that comment. Put in there that they're committing a fraud, waste and abuse and fraud on the Treasury. To interject that. That's not a standard they can do. They claim all these things aren't supposed to be interfering with the state, but in fact, it does interfere with the state. It suggests that something has been done and can be done on something that doesn't exist and hasn't been shown to exist, and most importantly, cannot be shown to exist. And despite all this, and you see why you can't rely on your state either, why you have to keep pressing, Nevada implements insurance surcharge on unvaccinated state workers. They've got this thing all flipped around that says that as an asymptomatic and unvaccinated, you're a threat to the public and you're going to cost them more money. They're not going to cover you. So they're not going to cut. You're going to cost more. So they're going to surcharge them. Now, I've told you, you're either going to comply or you're going to quit, and no one really step up and fight the correct way. If everybody in Nevada who was an employee that was unvaccinated stepped up and looked at what this problem was and shown that Nevada has no authority to do what they're doing to create essentially apartheid, medical apartheid, we talked about it. It was advanced. That idea was advanced out of the Zionists. As I told you, this was going to be a cancer within the system as well. as a technocracy to keep track of all this goes on as the world moves into that technocratic system. We'll hear some more of that at the end of the broadcast, hopefully, if I get there. Nevada has become the first state to implement health care premium surcharge on some 5,000 state employees not vaccinated against COVID-19 starting in July 2022. They're telling you right now you have the right till 2022 in July to make your objections in the record and do it correctly. 5,000 state employees writing complaints or moving lawsuits or whatever, doing administrative, doing your what do they call, human resources side to set up for that retaliation. You can do this without a religious exemption. You can do this without a medical need. They are an employer. They says employees, state employees are state employers. I identified, Oregon identifies that their employees are employees under Title 29 of the federal government. That's what the connection is. That there, every one of those 5,000 state employees can make a statement, as I have my first, the opening clause to the affidavit that is a religious exemption. Just high grade the conditioning clause out of that that says they have not yet demonstrated the ability to have an authority to do anything relative to this. And more importantly, that you, each employee, has been determined by the competent authority and due process, lawful due process, to be that principal carrying the infectious agent. Now, a principal in your federal law is the wrongdoer, is the doer of the wrong. And so, these words aren't that hard. The state people have their ability to attack this. And yet I don't hear the word getting out to say, wait a minute, why don't you at least try this? At least try this. So the policy, not law, the policy will help cover costs of COVID-19 testing. So now there's the reason. Now you get to jump in. The surcharge is for a fraud because there is no testing. And you have your little statement, summary statements, about how that can't even exist. And hospitalization associated with unvaccinated members. Well, how do they, they're predicting the future without basis. How do we know that? Because there is no test. They haven't identified an infectious agent. Generally, they haven't done it. But what is this tied to? Executive Officer of the Nevada Public Employees Benefits Program. Oh, it's a benefit. It's your benefits. Your public employee benefits. So, you got another potential angle in your agreements with that. And I'm going to go on and on. Those of you that are in this, and this is across every state, folks. This is the first to do it, they said. It doesn't stop. New York City mandates COVID vaccinations on private sector employees. If those of you say, oh, well, it's just the state, it's just the state. No, they're coming after everyone. We saw that in Oregon. And I told you that long. I told you how the third party imposition was going to happen. Here it is. Now, New York City mandates COVID vaccinations for private sector employees. They're actually getting the license to do this from the federal court cases. So don't think that because this national thing is it's unconstitutional on its face. What it's doing is it's allowing the courts to say, oh, those of you in business or agencies that want to can. And those of you that don't have to. Well, that's just an incremental injustice. And it's done underneath an undisclosed fraud or one that's disclosed but isn't by the officials required to identify it and out it, though the breach of that duty. Mayor Bill de Blasio mandated on Monday that all private sector workers in New York City get vaccinated to help limit the spread of Omicron variant, the moronic, the anagram-demic variant, a version of COVID-19 expected to be more transmissible. Well, look at that. I'm stuttering here. So much to just go through. I wish people just understood this. Did you see how they changed it? The Omicron variant, that's just a name, a new version of COVID-19, that's just symptoms. Even if Omicron variant was a name of something that was an infectious agent, it is not the symptoms. COVID-19 as symptoms is not transmissible. It's not an infectious agent. And we know that if it's an Omicron variant, the moronic variant is not actually an organism. It's a chemical weapon. It's not hard to lay out bullet point. that this first paragraph describing this condition can be exposing Blasio de Blasio to the fraud he's invoking in an authority he doesn't have, and if he did have it, would be relevant only to those businesses, those private sector businesses that have been shown to be the vector point. And to mandate vaccinations that are admitted now, whether you want to believe they're a chemical weapon through what I'm saying is a venom theory of attack, and think that they're a biological vaccine, it hasn't shown to prevent a thing. That's not by me talking. That's the black and white copy and paste admission by everybody at this point. That's an official. By changing the definitions, and I told you they have no right to change without going through the same process that's now the OSHA, OSHA agrees they have to go through now in order to promulgate the rules. And that's another deception. They're just going to go through and plausibly go through, make the rule, and then it's supposed to be good. It still can't be done nationally, but they can do it on the workplace as a rule violation set, not for the employees. And this is why I say you can help your employer if you were to just do what I'm saying. You'd say, listen, if I give you this and this and this, you are pretty much given a license to not to agree that you don't have that here. And so you have a way to work with your employer if they would listen. The problem is, we saw in the health issue, in the health the hospital system, they were given, there has to be a bribe going on behind the scenes. I know we see the billing and all that, but there's something going else on. I think it might be tied to the future care, your Obamacare, Trump scare, universal health. It's horrible care, folks. It's going to be universal care. It's prisoner care, I guess, if I can say it. I mean, trying to figure out all the experiences in my life. You don't get what you think you should have. The system doesn't care about you. They already tell you they're making their death committees. It's just a bean counter. It's just statistics. It's just statistical manipulations for your health care. You're a prisoner. That's it. And we got to come to terms with that and then figure out how we want to address it. This guy, it's given license, I suppose, I can see this in the negative part of the federal decisions are giving local state authority down to the mayors that now impose it upon that third party I've been telling you would be our problem. But I've also offered over and over how to deal with that. Now, as I say that, I have to apologize a little bit, but I don't know, it's an apology, but it's not, I don't feel any problem with it. I'm kind of torn. I mentioned what to do. My problem was, even though I have an episode number, I don't document what actually I may cover from broadcast to broadcast. And so for that point, I apologize that I cannot point to you to where I've already talked about all this. Except as I think about that, that's a pretty good technique to get you to listen to more, isn't it? If you really wanted to know. Well, not why I'm doing it, but I apologize. I'm not that organized to make a place for you to go listen. I attempt to try and make the headings of my broadcast or tell you generalities of the subject matter. But I've explained all of this stuff before, and it's really not that difficult in regard, and it's going to circumvent everything you're seeing the system set up under the color that it's doing justice and that it's doing the law. None of that's happening. None of it. And you can identify that with the black and white. Pretty simple. So, as I told you, that now that if you think there's state employees, no, it's coming to private sector. There's the shot across the bow of the private sector, who a lot of the businesses don't want to put up with it. But they're just as ignorant. They're just people, too, who have not read, and who would explain that we would have to know all this, that were not read in the communicable disease law to know where to drop the bomb to explode or hand the mine ticking time bomb to them at the time to show where they had complied with the law first. That explains the necessity that they're supposed to respond to. And who in their right mind thinks they can respond to a necessity that hasn't been definitively determined? Is the stillbirth problem why that's so important? If I didn't know the VIRS problem to begin with. As I said last week, I went to open VARS. I went and checked this week. They changed their format a little bit. It's just a quick little flick of a button. Click on a mouse button. It toggles it between the territories, the possessions and territories in the states. And it's shocking how much more the territorial peoples, the native peoples, I would assume, are affected by these shots in percentage. You can just click it back and forth now on the Open VARS system, and you can just see the percentage numbers. It's shocking. Shocking what's going on with all this, and it allows. Medical apartheid, we talked about it in Zionism. The Zionists, the Zionists, engaging their people into the prison, the future prison of endless vaccinations, boosters, and reprogramming. Medical apartheid, you think it's down there in the Middle East? No, an Illinois Democrat introduces bill denying health insurance to unvaccinated. So now you can't even pay a surge charge in Illinois. As the Democrats or whomever, it doesn't matter to me who they are, they're all criminals. Even the Republicans are not counting out the fraud and calling out the fraud and putting that political pressure on those that continue it. A Democrat in the state of Illinois has introduced legislation that would essentially deny health insurance to COVID sufferers who have resisted experimental vaccine, forcing them to pay out of pocket care. And so this is your Obamascare actually in implementation, as they move it through the states silently and start implementing it all. And again, it's going to be through the track and trace. All that. I don't even want to talk about all that anymore. I really am tired of talking about this. But it's still on the game. It's still on the hunt. It's still on the death. They're still killing us with it. And I don't know what more to say. And so this article says it talks about the Democrats push universal health care in order to deny life-saving care to their political enemies. No, well, it's also the Republicans who are allowing it. When you hear Rand Paul, you really listen to what he's saying. He's no different than a Democrat. He's no different than so. You'll listen very carefully. Don't take my word for it. Never take my word for it. Go and see the black and white for yourself. Go listen to what's going on. Compare what they say to what they promote. Compare the actual law to the authority they have to say it, to what the actual black and white is. Engage your ignorance to not be so ignorant anymore. Find the intention to apply. In fact, I was talking to someone in the email that said, there's a thought, trying to figure out where to find this information I'm saying and not getting some of the points. I said, a lot of what I think, I really try to analyze this. I don't want to talk about stuff that people can't understand. And I'm not here to talk about things that people can't or have tracked down. And I mentioned everything I'm mentioning is trackable. You can go do it. You can apply it. But that's the point. You really should take what I'm saying with an intention in your mind to do something. First, start with, well, what do I want to do? I see all this information, but what irks me really, really bad? What so much I'm going to actually commit? And then, hopefully, because I don't know about talking to all subject matters, I can get pretty comprehensive. I talk kind of focused on certain issues, but I can get pretty comprehensive on what I would apply, and then I can also go to my experiences, and again, the generality of understanding both law and administrative side, implementations, and due process, and the relatively in the jurisdiction. So I have a little bit more, even though it may not be a subject matter specific issue. I tend to avoid criminal issues because that's a different matter, except there's certain due processes that you get to do. There's certain things that are treated administratively like crime. There are certain things like traffic. I can learn a bit about the administrative criminal procedures. And that gave me a little bit of insight there, though I won't do too much in a criminal case. That's a real difficult thing, and that's always has the decision that someone has to make for themselves, which I told you, I don't judge like making plea deals. They're wrong in one argument because of the misconduct of prosecutors. But they can't be said causing someone who has to decide to go there wrong. And I've had to do that. And I've had to do that and then rationalize, not an excuse you have to do that. But there's a pragmatism against the enemy. And sometimes you have to look, do you let them shoot you till they make you dead and ineffectual, take you out of your own life? Or do you get wounded by choice to go fight another day? And then the question is, do you fight or do you just give up? And that's where I kind of turned. I said, okay, well, this is going to, if I have to make this, the law was on my side. I identified that there is no justice in the system. I wasn't then going to put myself on their pyre to persecute for another 5 or 6 years on something I didn't do. And so the plea deal came despite the fact I followed the law. this was like more a lesson for me. When I got done with that, I cleared that out. I didn't suffer the 5 years. And ends up, they just want their money. And it was a minor thing eventually, because that's what the plea was about. I didn't stop. When I saw what I was up against there, and I saw you can't even follow the law, I realized we're in some trouble. And if I didn't turn right there to face that when I wasn't so vulnerable, it could come back and get me again. And since I've done now, my intention then was to take, if you will, the loss for the battle, to turn it into a better fought war. This, you have to know, I'm not talking silver bullets here. And so, this is a thing you have to flex your muscles again. You got to build your muscles back up. You have to get your practice. You have to learn how to do the terrain. This is a big deal. They're coming right at us, right after our little, they're taking us out before we come out of the womb now. If anybody can still sit back about that, I don't know. But at any rate, what I talk about is really better applied to something that's within an intention that you have to fulfill within the context of the subject matter I talk about. Find something to do. If it's the masks or whatever, or the vaccines or traffic or whatever, we'll talk. You can send me an email. I'll see what I can offer. It's like that one emailer sent me, oh, I've got the COVID money and now they take my pension. But that one wouldn't agree that in filing the 1040 form to make a filing that she was a taxpayer. She wouldn't agree to that. I said, well, I can't help that. I can't help you. If you don't understand enough to know that that's what you did, you actually did something else. I think it's so you called yourself a fiduciary to a foreign resident when you filed a 1040. If I remember that right, that's a long time ago. There was a little rule made by the commissioner. But anyway, am I off point here? The point is that there's certain things and statuses and things that go on that you have to understand, and people don't. We don't. So until you focus on something, I'm a little bit hand-tied a bit. So I talk generally when we talk here, but to listen to me without the intention to apply, when I'm talking about attacking the fact of the infectious agent, you really have to go look with that intention in your mind that you want to attack that to protect yourself. And you need to then go look at the communicable disease law before what I'm saying starts to come true. Because the reflection to me by people responding to me, just even a quick note, like, you know, you're right, I've been digging in a little deeper, and what you're saying is not happening. It's absolutely right there. They're not doing it. And then they keep digging, right? They don't give up just because they saw that. There's more now. Now you see more. So applying what I'm saying to the thing I'm talking about makes this, I think, totally different for people. Sitting back and just listening and not having it applied to anything, not even as a mental theory type, you know, okay, well, we'll apply. He's talking about making a record. He's talking about going after the fraud. I see this thing over here. It's not vaccines or not infectious agents, but it's this thing totally over here in this other subject matter. You know, if we applied that there, then it would make a record that would do that. Then I know, okay, that's interesting. Maybe I should go look a little closer at that thing that does interest me more than this fraud that's being perpetrated on everybody and killing everybody or about to. Whether it's your life, your society, your means, your abilities. Pennsylvania Supreme Court rules that schools cannot force states' children to remain masked. And this is the splitting of the hair case that's really come apparent. The states are now given license by a lot of this in order to split the hair because no one's challenging the fraud. A statewide mask mandate for Pennsylvania school children was thrown out by the state Supreme Court on Friday, raising the prospect that at least some students may soon be allowed to attend classes without a face covering. The justices announced their decision to invalidate the administration of Governor Tom Wolf's statewide mandate for a mask inside K-12 schools, building and child care facilities. The problem with this is you see that they can mistreat the students. What you'll find out is they agreed in those areas that had already put rules in, they could cause them to be, the school districts can do that. And so you see, without attacking the fact that there's nothing to fight, the courts are, well, so-called Supreme Courts of the state, declaring law, or looking past the fraud, are declaring that certain jurisdictions can apply a mitigation measure. It's not justice. And so it now puts it back on you, the sons, the mothers and fathers and the sons and daughters that are being mistreated, to get those things, either keep them off of you or overturn those that have already agreed. You'll not hear any discussion here on the validity of the determinations of infectious agent here. None of these cases. And so while it looks like, you know, Pennsylvania Supreme Court rules that schools cannot force states' school children to remain masked, it was only to the discretion of the school district itself. And some school districts, I guess they must be motivated for some reason to not require it, and others were. Now we're talking again, it's like jurisdiction by jurisdiction as well. So you might see impliedly there's something being acknowledged, but what's not being acknowledged is the fraud. And so there's more to read about the Pennsylvania case. Those of you in Pennsylvania need to go look at that really carefully, understand what the court said about this, and then apply what I'm saying relative to reconditioning, reframing what really was supposed to go on there. You might be able to go back into the school districts, because at this point, the school districts will have the power, because of the Supreme Court decision of the state, that they can rely on that and they can't be held accountable to violations of it because they're not violating that, even if that's wrong. So this is where it shifts the burden to the people and puts it on them. The only way I know to defeat that is to say, but as an administrator, you don't have the authority to make a mask mandate where you have not identified the infectious agent as the legislature requires underneath this communicable disease law. You're essentially putting the districts to be that public health official, aren't they? So you put that communicable disease law on them. It's not just Pennsylvania. This is everywhere. They can do the same. It's the same answer, really, in challenge everywhere. And you get a bunch of moms really fired up on this, 1,000 moms. I think they can make a bunch of noise that causes enough attention, and they don't just keep hitting on the commission, the board. You hit all the people that allow that board. You hit all the any of the ethics provisions that those oaths of office are attached to. You have your 1,000 people just go through the system as a cancer to them, hitting them on the direct point of the failure to identify the infectious agent and jumping to mitigation before doing that. So it doesn't stop. The states are taking the advantage, as the federal courts are saying, oh, well, you can. We can't do it nationally, but you can do it by the state. Not saying that you can't do it fraudulently in the state. I'm saying you can't do it fraudulently in the state. And if you are doing it fraudulently, you're not living underneath the lawful government. And I don't know what more to say about that one. Well, I do, but I'm not going to say it here at this time. Oregon Dems begin process to make indoor mask mandates permanent until COVID pandemic recedes. Endlessly, folks. Remember, endless disease. Coronavirus is actually what they're claiming. That's a common cold. Will the common cold ever go away? No. So this is exactly what they've been wanting. This is indoor mask mandates. They're doing it by the legislature. And thank you to this notice from a listener, an email. I don't keep too much track on all this stuff, but again, this is people being quiet. They're taking advantage, and then you notice what they're doing. And on Thursday, the Oregon Health Authority, OHA, confirmed that its Rules Advisory Committee, quote, met to begin the process of drafting a permanent set of rules for the state's indoor mask mandate requirement. Folks in Oregon, there you go. This is the OHA administration having to go through Administrative Procedures Acts, and you're going to go through Title 180. Or 183 in Oregon, RS 183 maybe, that's your APA, go down to about 502, and you're going to find something about alternative dispute resolution, but you're also going to find out that they can't, that's a savings clause, and there's a provision up above that, above that in 300 or something. You're going to find out you can assert your prior rights in this comment period. And then you can assert in Oregon, in this process, for the agency, the comment that they haven't demonstrated the exigent circumstance that they were required to do better than a presumption, and they were supposed to find someone with it, not through and non-fraudulently, and not using a test, a fraudulently declared test that can't be. You make that comment. You do it in mass. It's the same answer to the OSHA, isn't it? Identical. And so here you're seeing the courts are saying, states, you were supposed to do the APA procedures. And what the states telegraph implying, the federal courts are, at least do a plausible presentation that you did it right. Because we're looking past the fraud. You just give us something that we can say, no, you followed the protocols of the administrative procedure, and it was sufficient. It was meaningful. How many times have I told you about this process? None of us step up. See, in the administrative process, you're not at jeopardy. And I told you this is where a lot of this is going to have to go. Why? Because they have to have executive implementation. Executive doesn't make laws. And that's what they've been doing, and the courts are saying you can't do that, but you can make a rule as long as you follow this process. And they're all starting to go follow the process. They did the bums rush. They're going to continue the bums rush, but you're going to be wearing a suit and tie now. They're going to now shed their bum clothes, and they're going to be wearing suits and ties because it's going to look good. It's going to be plausibly through the administrative procedures, which I'm telling you, you can sabotage with proper paperwork, comments. It's not a legal filing. Well, it can work to that, but it's evidence, but you can put stuff in. It's not that complicated. It's not that formal. And I'm saying your formality comes from black and white. You just go to the statute, you say you didn't do this, this, and this. You're wasting the treasury. You're fraud, waste, and abuse. You don't have jurisdiction to even make the rule. You just throw it out there. You haven't just taken this law and identified where the infectious agent is, not presumptively, but is. Demonstrate non-fraudulent exigency for the emergency you think you're making rules for. You have no jurisdiction to be wasting time on it if you haven't. It's easy to say all this stuff. I'm just throwing stuff out there. You can list it up as you want. Anywhere. COVID-19, a pandemic of fear, manufactured by authorities. So says a Yale epidemiologist. A Yale statistician on communicable disease. Says it was all manufactured. You get the story. The COVID-19 pandemic has been one of fear, manufactured by individuals who were in nominal positions of authority as the virus began to spread across the globe last year, according to a Yale epidemiologist, Dr. Harvey Risch. Now, where I got this story was from the Epoch Times, and I'm going to be critical of the Epoch Times, notwithstanding their promotion about what they're doing. Because their next paragraph reeks of... Well, it's unprofessionalism, at least. And it misdirects the people's thoughts about what's going on. And this irks me a bit because it's going to keep people off the focus. It keeps people trying to blame somebody else instead of taking responsibility, where I can point to someone else who's done it, and that's them, and so I have no more responsibility. In this part, where it says, in the appearance of Epoch TV's American Thought Leaders program, Risch and it, epidemiology professor at Yale School of Public Health and Yale School of Medicine Department of Epidemiology and Public Health argued that by and large, what has characterized the entire CCP Chinese Communist Party virus pandemic has been a, quote, degree of fear and people's response to the fear. Now, I went over and I have for you the link that goes to the transcript of that interview. Nowhere in that transcript does it say that the professor talks about a CCP virus. Nowhere. And so this is a problem for me in that this is not a CCP virus. Why? It's a synthetic chemical weapon. It was offered as a suggestion of synthesis by the Chinese, but it wasn't produced by them. They just transmitted the code to somebody. It was the United States that made this. And if you don't understand that, you don't understand how they're doing the trick as well. And so where I appreciate the interview, where we are now getting from a Yale-trained expert that it was manufactured for fear, and what else could it be? Been talking about like this forever. Now the experts say, we now get it from the horse's mouth, if you will. The reason why I say it that way, because that's what the so-called courts would be looking at if you were to present the fraud. You know that this would be showing that, because your part of your presentation would be the exposure of the fear. And the alarm, what you're trying to do is show that the society was put on alarm for no good reason. And how is that going to be proven? How are they going to shift that burden but to show the infectious agent did something more than presumptively? It was actual. Okay, so there's a Okay, I better move on. The very interesting. They talk about now where the transcript is. Dr. Harvey Risch, hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, and other therapeutics highly effective in early COVID treatment. As they move through and do this discussion with this epidemiologist. Remember, epidemiology has been defined to be science, but epidemiology is really just statistics. That's risk management, as I have understood through a different conflagration, literal wildfire studies and research, of which we did engage the government, so which we did find seats of decision that would listen, and we did change the problem that the federal government did not have authority, where the ultimate authority in the wildfire national policy says the ultimate authority is the local jurisdiction, the local county. We showed some seats of decision, people's seats of decision, that's what it was. They were able to change the framing of the condition and gain control again. This is no different, folks. So where was this hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin stuff supposed to happen? From the public health official? Well, the answer is clearly no. It's supposed to be from the doctor that issued the first report suspecting you had something. And they, the official, comes back and says, our assessment is that's what you have, the communicable disease, and this is what we would like you to do. And then you talk with your doctor to say, what works for you? This is what we need to have happen, and this is what they're asking for, and what are you able or willing to do? That's how that was supposed to be done, and peacefully so, not bring the whole of society into alarm. And where was the hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin? Not supposed to be politicized. That was the intimate discussion between you and your doctor. That up until it became politicized because they have this other scam going on, fraudchi, whoever you want to call it, they were interfering with that as well and being called out about it. That whole decision had nothing to do with the public officials. It had strictly to do with your doctor and you. Where was any of that discussion? Where did I get that? Because I'm so sharp and smart? Well, I'm not smart. I might get more intelligent as I read. But I'm not S-M-A-R-T, that's for sure. That's the problem with all this. I am not S-M-A-R-T. We sued M-S-M-A-R-T. No, you get enough research and study, even if you didn't know about having to do it, and you figure things out, and you realize that, wow, it's in the law that's supposed to happen that way. That wasn't even ever a question. And that we're not enjoying that means you're not under law. It should be easy and quick work to figure out where it disconnected. Soon enough, ivermectin would have been shown to not be effective. And we found out that it may not be in certain instances, like too late. And you have to move on to a different treatment. Never were you needing to go on, it seems, to what the protocols were that were adopted for high profit values in the medical system or in emergency side or in the treatment that has no infectious agent and is not itself an infectious agent that is to prevent. It's a synthetic created in the lab, but they can only create it there. It is the patented part. It's the RNA, the cDNA, as you saw the Myriad LLC case. It is the proprietary aspect, which is not natural. That is a component of what we call, what they're calling, well, I can't even say the word. It's a jab. It certainly can't be a vaccine because it doesn't prevent. They agree to that. And I said before, even if you didn't understand all this, it's real easy to state that find a Pfizer or the Moderna, whoever it is, says that it doesn't prevent. Find the CDC says it doesn't prevent. And then you go to the statute and you're black and white in your state that says that their only authority is to do things that do prevent. In other words, your hands, the doctor's hands are tied as well relative to the vaccine. It's not a question of whether you're going to be a refusenik, as we're going to come in here, or not. It has to do with whether or not it's efficacious toward the effect of the jurisdictional power, which is to prevent communicable disease. These jabs do not do that by admission of the officials themselves and the pharmaceuticals. The pharmaceuticals. I haven't used that for a long time. And here now we move on to someone doing, I think this is a way to go. There's an avenue to attack what seems to be a theater to me like Rand Paul, but I don't know yet. I don't know the guy too much. I haven't heard enough to know. Fauci slams Wisconsin senator's allegation that that Fauci overhyped Omicron variant and AIDS crisis. And so right off the bat, the title shows how Fauci is adept at changing the point. And then you see where they attack this Wisconsin senator for what he said in a town hall meeting relative to, well, if you just want to stop the spread of lower the transmission, just use mouthwash. And so the media picked up on the mouthwash, and Fauci went after the questioning, what's he talking about over-hyping Omicron and AIDS crisis. And this is the failure of the Wisconsin senator to not bring out the problem actually and directly. Because he didn't do that, because he talks about mitigation sides, remedies, counter to the actual experts in code, the rules that allow them, the other ones, to be the experts, not the senator. Because the senator has not outed the fraud, he gets to be able to be attacked. And so those of you in Wisconsin, listen carefully, you have an opening. This Republican Senator Ron Johnson is the conduit that you can inform to show you don't have to get in an argument with Fauci. You can just say Fauci has no place in the state because our state has not identified an infectious agent for which Fauci's opinions have any merit. Can somebody in Wisconsin step up and say that? Can someone maybe be available to offer the bigger story? See, I can't do it. It's not my place anyway. But someone in the state can offer. Here's another representative that's now stepped up to do the fight. Is it a show or not? You can test that real quick. All the senator has to do is show that he has the power to contact all the agencies that would deny you. He can ask, let me see where the infectious agent was determined, and let me see the tests you used, complying with this state law. And he could pull all that together, and he could then do the reports like they do, and he could then declare in front that Fauci has not the authority, and he cannot find in his state an infectious agent has been found, that anything that Fauci has to say is relevant. And then he says, it's shown, and I think it is shown, if you want to limit transmission of infectious things, be it influenza or coronavirus, you should stay home. But if you have to kind of go out, why don't you try some mouthwash? Spruce things up a little bit. So Fauci goes and says it's about overhyping AIDS and HIV and all that. The moronic virus. But that's not the point, is it? And Senator Ron Johnson opens that door for him by not outing and eliminating Fauci's authority. It's already easy, I'm going to say it, Vince, easily done, because it's a national authority that is already reserved to the states the power over health decisions. Then it's the state statute which imposes the duty. You have to find the duty for the senator, the duty to do that. I'm looking, I am Lone Frog. It's not House place to say who is fit to do so. It's everybody in the states whose representative is speaking like this and trying to defend the people. I don't know. We tried for a while. If you're not in someone's local congressional district, you really can't. They've really locked people out of talking with senators. So that's probably, my best answer. You have to fight where you are. And here's, in Wisconsin, the evidence that someone appears to be standing up to do that. Hopefully he's not a Rand Paul. You'll find that out really quickly. And what this does is it displaces all the argument and puts the burden onto the state. And they either have shown or they have not. It's not that really that difficult. And then he gets to go, this senator would go up against his own state, essentially. That's executive, that's a legislative branch, correct? That's an interesting check and balance position, I think. They have the legislative council that can move through attorneys to do that. He's not helpless. But anyway, moving on. COVID-19 outbreak reports of the U.S. cruise ship despite fully vaccinated passengers. The Princess in the Petri dish comes back to us, haunts them, and I told you this was going to happen as soon as I said, good, as soon as they make everybody have to be vaccinated, then we'll see whether or not the vaccinations work. Here's an evidence. Now, they work. They work. At least 10 cases of COVID-19 has been reported on Norwegian Cruise Line ship disembarking in New Orleans, officials said. All the crew members and passengers taking part of the cruise have been fully vaccinated on COVID-19, according to the Louisiana Department of Health. The agency didn't reveal the conditions of those who were infected with, again, the Epic Times problematic statement, the CCP virus. Folks, it's not. There is no virus. There is no virus. It's a synthetic. It's a line of code. It's a line of code instruction that you how to build proteins to create a chemical weapon. The implementing part is the spike protein, the insulin. Again, Epic Times has been doing this for a long time. It really irks me because when we find out that it's a synthetic, then we start realizing it's not biologic. There cannot be any vaccine. I don't care what they do. There cannot be the story they've been telling us. As long as you think the China's did it, it's the China virus, like Trump was promoting, you're off point. Anyway, I won't read any more because I got off point. The point is, fully vaccinated ship still had cases of COVID, so-called COVID-19. All right? Doesn't prevent. There's the proof. Petri dish. Now they're all down in lockdown and all this other stuff. Oh, but the other side will say, oh, but it prevented them from anybody from going to hospital. Well, that's not prevention. That's not the prevention we're talking about. It's prevention of the infectious agent. But since it's not an infectious agent, it's a venom, and it's transmissible in my mind still, and I haven't found a way to disprove it yet, no different than a bee venom, an anaphylactic shock that the wife of a beekeeper gets when she's dealing with his bee suit for months and months on end, or walking through the environment that the venom is vapor sublimating off the bee suit, and she passes out and almost dies, and some did. That's the type of thing I'm looking at. Why did I do that? How did I come to that? It was because of the clinical technicians who were male that had women at home of childbearing age. The women at home had to be checked, and they were finding they were being affected, and the man did not suffer infection. So that was an interesting problem, and I think we now see that's again why I think it's a chemical weapon attack. And I found enough venomous creatures. The response of the body to which is in different issues the same as what we're seeing the spike protein doing. And so that those venom proteins can be an analog to what we see in the spike protein. And what the problem is that the spike protein is not really the interesting part for immunological conditions. And we'll hear if I get to there. I hope I get there. The GlaxoKline ex-employee, a scientist, who explains all this to us. If you want to understand how this all works, at least to where we would be dealing with an infectious agent, they'll explain to you how it's really supposed to go, and this is very informative, why I've included those today. I'll get in the broadcast of whether I get to it. Unvaccinated in Australia could be in prison for a year. Okay? So I'm just going to, I don't need to talk more about that. Austria, unvaccinated now. If you're an asymptomatic, you're now the problem. Even 20-something percent of the population is now the problem. It is a crime, a crime against mankind I can't even imagine. On top of the fact they haven't got an actual infectious agent. On top of the fact that the vaccines are causing their problem. We just saw the Petri dish in a boat. Come on. You don't have to go far to see the incorrectness of what's going on, and the people that are in places of power are psychopaths and drunk on their power. And nobody steps up. I just don't quite get it. Not just protesting, I don't agree. No, start bringing the objective paperwork that the bureaucrats have to deal with. And use that first before them. I don't think you have to even get to the protest. You be there. You be in their face. But you're there on a whole different principle. You're putting a demand on that system. And you're making that record that if they can't respond, and you show the fraud on its face, they are shown to be in fault. Whether or not anybody, their system wants to agree to it. That's another thing I think people misunderstand. You are documenting the maladministration of government. If I go back to the Virginia example, about the guns, the maladministration of government was seen and believed by 95% of the counties in that state. Their constitution says when the mass communities, the bulk of major mass of communities are feeling the maladministration, sense it or believe it, they then move contrary to any instrumentality made as organ of the government to fix the maladministration. They had the proof. This is the kind of stuff I'm talking about doing here. You come with your proof that they're not going to fulfill the law. Then you get them for the maladministration before you start screaming and yelling and doing anything. Because what they have you in this war, in the psychological war, it comes up like this as it comes down to where more they get more and more people believing that they are empowered by government to beat on you, the ones that, who are healthy, media, the spin comes, hardcore vaccine refuseniks may need to be de-radicalized like terrorists and punished. And so this is the what's coming down to this information. The UK media is running a reported report citing experts, insist experts in quotes, inciting that, quote, hardcore vaccine refuseniks, in quotes, may need to be de-radicalized, in quotes, like terrorists, and in quotes, and punished and subjected to vaccine mandates. And so what is your response to that? You can't just deny it when they're in the power and they're the experts. You have to take away their expert presumption. You say, you don't have the right to talk in place of my local health official who has not declared under this body of law that I am subject to anything of your opinion. And your opinion is a crime. It's a trespass against me. So I'm not refusing, but to arrest your fraud and crime, your felony crime against me. You better have that backed up in your mind and how to do that. You should have that printed down somewhere. This is no different than the so-called expert, third-party expert is no different than the company third-party trying to stop you from shopping or getting whatever they want to demand of you, but without demonstrating the necessity. The UK government is not above doing psyops. No different than the psyop of the court. Supposedly court, we think of justice, but that has just found against Julian Assange. It's a false front. You can buy into it. You can complain, stand outside the walls of the false front of the spaghetti Western buildings and yell at the walls, or you can do other things to those walls. And there's quite a bit of things that can be done. But here comes the affront to all of you. I told you it was coming. They name you, they blame you, they call you names. And you gotta, it's kind of harsh to deal with that when they come and blame you like that and you're an innocent on top of it. We're not thinking in that regard. Innocent people don't do that. They don't think on how we might be attacked. And so we always come off wrong-footed, if you will. And I'm saying protect yourself ahead of time. Get knowledgeable. Not that you have knowledge of everything. You have knowledge of what you need. And stay focused on that. So I did get to it. The link here. Episode, the Van Den Bosch interview that was done by the High Wire. And I have to admit here that the High Wire did a good job in doing a nice quality production value interview. The information that you're going to get from Dr. Van Den Bosch, I don't know if he's a doctor or not. He's a GlaxoSmithKline scientist. I suppose he could be called a doctor who did studies on virology. He has a pretty good pedigree, if you will, to be able to explain to us what is going on and how he explains what is counterintuitive to how it would be predicted what we see. Not just what I say behind the woodshed that I think it's a chemical weapon, it's going to affect your body and then you'll be passing that around. No, he actually shows you that there's a really counterintuitive application of the technology that he was working with. What I don't agree with in this, just as a caveat, I don't agree that we're dealing with an actual biological agent that I think he does. We may be dealing with these proteins that they're synthesized, and those may be doing the things he says, but they're not a natural biological organism that he speaks from a vaccine background. I'm not discounting what he's telling you because the mechanics are there for you to understand, and kudos to the High Wire. I don't know too much about how this organization, but they did a good job here to provide to us this information from someone who was a scientist, and he says his focus is completely on the science. And when you listen, you start to see that there's a lot more behind what we're glossed over and fully consistent with what I've told you and what you can use. Again, this would be at least a hearsay if you're not someone you could then put on subpoena. I'd call him to see if he could do something. With e-government now, it might be easier to get these people in for expert witnesses that he could come in to explain what was supposed to happen. But you'd have to establish that you did have, well, you did not have an infectious agent. Notwithstanding what he's going to tell you, if we did have one, would still not function the way that the experts are believing and the officials are doing, and it predicts that we're going to have irreparable harms. So we move on to what he talked about, this S-protein. I found a little link. I think it might have been links. I don't know now. So much information. Novel coronavirus S-protein, two-region subunit nanovaccine based on Pyrococcus furiosus ferritin. It's a special attack. You notice it says novel coronavirus S-protein. Vandenbosch speaks about the importance of the S-protein. I want to point out here, so he's talking strictly in novel or invented chemical protein, chemical weapons, not biologicals, even though he'll explain how the counterintuitive nature of what's going on in the dynamic of a vaccine, it's really not so straightforward. It's kind of an interesting thing that the body does. And how you can overwhelm the body and cause it to go into the very things that you see worldwide. But he talks about the S-protein I'm identifying for you. That is still a novel, invented thing. And we're still at the chemical weapon side. For as interesting and phenomenal as what they say they understand about things going on, it's really easy to get mess up. And he will tell you that it's because you can't just take a immunologist or a virologist or anybody by themselves and come up and be an expert. Not at the level that they're doing it on. And this would never come up had they done it correctly from the doctor-patient relationship with advice of what the state needed to contain a greater outbreak than just what the doctor was looking at. Now I want to move in and transition a little bit as we move down quickly here. The technology that they're using behind this is really fascinating. Scary as heck, but it's fascinating. Scientists 3D print programmable living structures with new microbial ink. 3D programmable printing with living structures with new microbial ink. I'm going to assume those microbes are so-called living, and they're not necessarily so programmed. But even so, it seems to me, when you see that they're programmable, that is, again, novel. We're talking about chemical weapons that are formable. They form themselves. We're back to evidence. When we're talking about the industry doing pharma, they are really genetically engineering things that create and form up things we've never seen before. They also said this 3D printing is very interesting in that they can dry it out, and then they can take it to, I guess they're talking like, let's go to Mars with this, because these things that are microbial formers, they can reproduce themselves like bacteria. They can form up things. You can program them to form up things. You could take dehydrated, dry bacteria to do things. The problem is they have right now is they can't function when they're yet dry. And water would be very expensive to take to Mars because they have to keep them moist. So they got a little bit of a problem, but I figured out I think I have the answer to the moisture problem. And it was in a little invention I found on the internet. They dehydrate the bacteria, which forms itself into making all kinds of structures. Oh, that's what it was. The mycelia, a plastic replacement, using mushroom mycelia to be now functional plastics that use like styrofoam. They act like styrofoam. That's what it was. I don't have that link, but make your own dehydrated water. Folks, it's on the internet, Instructables. You can make your own dehydrated water. They could combine it with this, ship it on a spaceship to Mars with the dehydrated bacteria. They can reconstitute this dehydrated water that you can make for your very own self on Instructables.com, and we can now build things on the planet Mars in places from formable proteins. Grimner, thank you for all you've done, and I will talk to you maybe later, maybe not. See you next week. Take this or nature will. We'll be right back.
Well, that's another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, Journey with Purpose.
Up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, it just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.